I'm so glad that you're here. Thanks for being here. For those of you who couldn't be here, you're joining us online from all around the world. Thanks for being here. Some of you, maybe this is your first time to Oak Hills Church ever. We want you to know that we're honored that you would be our guest and choose to be with us this morning. We are in a series we've entitled Overflow. The desire behind the series is a desire to grow as we go, to grow to be more Christ-like. The desire is in our lives as individuals to see less of ourselves and more of Jesus overflow out of our lives. And for us as a church, to grow and to mature into Christ-likeness so that when people see us, all they see is Jesus and only Jesus. Because I figure we could grow to be better versions of ourselves, right? I could become a better me, or I could become a better reflection of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I know me, and the world doesn't need a better me. I believe the world needs more Jesus. Amen? Amen. I had an opportunity this past week to be a part of a meeting where we were looking back at the history of the Oak Hills Church. I believe you have to know where you've been to know where you're going. And I can tell you that was such a great time of looking back at the amazing things that God has done through this church through the years. I can tell you he's not finished with us yet. We still have a great commission. You know what I mean when I say great commission? Some of Jesus' final words in Matthew 28 when he said, go and make disciples. So that's what we're going to do. As a church, we are making disciples that will make disciples that will make disciples. That's really what a life of overflow is all about. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about some of the things that maybe we need to empty ourselves of. Because we want to grow, we want to mature. We are all in process of becoming who we're going to be. But we also need to pay attention to the things that sometimes fill our hearts that keeps God from being able to fill our hearts with the things that we really want to be able to overflow with. We talked about the past. A couple weeks ago, we talked about maybe it's shame from our past that we carry with us. Maybe it's something in the present. Maybe it's everyday decisions that we make. And sometimes we hold on to things so tight that they really have a hold on us. Today, I want to look at one more thing. We're going to make a turn next week to talk about what it is that God desires to fill us with, but today I want to look at one more thing that maybe we need to empty ourselves of. We are going to look at one of the most powerful emotions known to humanity. We're going to look at fear. But before we do that, I want us to pray our overflow prayer together. Will you say this aloud with me? Good Father, tell me my purpose. Tell me the truth. Give me your spirit to know why I'm here. Awaken our hearts. So others drink deeply. And all those who agreed with that prayer said, amen. Amen. A couple years ago, the Huffington Post released an article that was really, it was about fear, but it was comparing the fears that we face as children and then the fears that we face as adults. For example, maybe as a child, you faced the fear of doctors, but then you grew up and you became an adult and you learned to, doctor's bills. How about this one? Maybe you were a child and you learned to fear bad dreams, but then you became an adult and you learned to unfulfilled dreams became the fear. What about this one? As a child, maybe you had the fear of strangers, stranger danger, but then you became an adult and it became the fear of crippling social anxiety. And finally, what about this one? As a child, you learned to fear clowns. And then as adults, you grew up and you learned to fear clowns. Some things don't change, right? Hey, after the service yesterday, a lady came up after the service, and I thought she wanted to pray with me. She actually just wanted to share with me her business card. Yeah. I want you to know for the record that Tutti Frutti and I have reconciled, and we are still friends. We grow up, but we don't outgrow fear. I'm curious, what about you? What are you afraid of? We'll take a little poll. How many of you are afraid of snakes? Wow, that's a lot of you. Okay. Afraid of snakes. How about this one? Afraid of heights. Anybody afraid of heights? Okay, two for two. There's a lot of people afraid of heights. How about afraid of being trapped in an elevator? Whoa, that's a lot more than I thought that was going to be. So, okay, so you guys, the doors are closing, and you're not saying anything, but in the back of your mind, you're going, hey, I actually got trapped in an elevator with a lot of people one time. That's another story for another time. We'll just keep moving on. But how many of you are afraid of public speaking? Anybody afraid of, okay, quite a few public. Okay, now I'm feeling a little fearful about that. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yes, yes. How many of you are afraid, oh, here's one, San Antonio traffic? There you go, big time, right? There were two hands on that one. I see an orange barrel and I get a little twitchy. It's everywhere. When is it going to end? How about the next election? Yeah, yeah. How about a dip in the Dow? Maybe it's something, maybe it's a fear about the future. Maybe it's fearing loss of something in the future. Maybe loss of a job, loss of a loved one, loss of health, loss of literally losing our minds. All it takes is a trip to the doctor's office, and we find a spot, and all of a sudden the enemy seizes on the opportunity to plant some fear. Maybe it's, how about this one? Just the fear of the unknown. Maybe you're wondering if you'll get accepted into that school. Maybe you're wondering if you'll ever be accepted by your peers. Maybe you're wondering if you'll ever find true love. Maybe you're wondering if you'll ever find true love again. Maybe you're wondering if you'll ever be able to have children. Maybe you're wondering if the children that you have will ever be able to support themselves. I'm moving into a new season. Now I have something new to be afraid of. I thought I'd get an amen from someone over here. That's the nature of the future. It is unknown. It is unpredictable. It is uncertain. And that can cause fear in any of us. We all experience fear. Now, we experience it at different levels. Some of us face a little fear. Some of us, it's almost debilitating. But we all face fear. None of us can escape it. Can I tell you that even Jesus himself did not escape fear? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to pick up there in verse 36. This is a Thursday night. And where we find ourselves is that Jesus is with his disciples. This is the final night before Jesus was to be crucified. How does he spend this night? He wants to spend it with his disciples. They eat together. They have a meal together. They sing together. They sing hymns. And then after a while, they go down and to the valley and up onto a hillside called the Mount of Olives. And that's where we pick up in verse 36. Then Jesus brought them to an olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, "Sit here while I go on ahead to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he began to be filled with anguish and deep distress. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell face down on the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and he found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak." Again he left them, and again he prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away until I drink it, your will be done." He returned to them again and found them sleeping, for they just couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went back to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Still sleeping? Still resting? Look, the time has come. I, the Son of Man, am betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. See, my betrayer is here." The first thing that I want us to notice in this passage is that Jesus faced crushing fear. Did you hear what he said? He said, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." Jesus doesn't have to fear the coming future. See, the future has come. His time has come. And he goes to his Father. And he prays to the Father, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way, let this cup." Now, what is this cup of suffering that Jesus is so afraid of? It's not a literal cup that you drink from. This cup, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for the wrath of God, his judgment, his anger, his punishment that had to be poured out on sin. He is a righteous God. And this cup of wrath is about to be poured out on the only one who did not deserve it. This was prophesied some 700 years before the time of Jesus by the prophet Isaiah. He said, "But he was pierced. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed by our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." There he is in the garden, praying to his Father. He had never experienced physical death. He had never experienced isolation from his Father. He was tormented, horrified, confused, disoriented, sorrowful. He was grieved, anguished. He was afraid. Now, he was not about to break, but he was breaking down underneath the weight of our sin. The only one who did not deserve it is being crushed by our iniquities. My sin, your sin. So what do we do when we experience crushing fear? Well, we do what Jesus did. Jesus crushed his fear with prayer. With prayer. He told his disciples, "Sit here. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray." He prayed not once, Not twice. How many times did he go back to the Father? Three times. Three times he went back to the Father to pray the same thing every time. If there's any other way, may this cup pass away from me, but your will be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Three times the Son went to the Father, and three times the Father said no. You ever prayed for something and not get the answer that you wanted? Yeah, so has Jesus. He knows what that feels like. Jesus went to the Father three times. Three times the Father said no, at no fault of the one who prayed. Now, this is important because some of you have been told, well, you just need to have more faith. Well, you just need to pray harder. Well, you just need to say the right words. Well, you just need to do the right thing. I want you to notice, at no fault of the one who prays, three times he goes to the Father. And the Father says no to what Jesus wanted because he was saying yes to what we needed. You see, a good father does what only a good father can do. He overflows with goodness. And the only thing that's pouring out of him at this point is love. Self-giving love at great cost to himself and great cost to Jesus, as it would lead him to a cross. Some of you have been praying for a long time, maybe for some of the same things over time. I want to encourage you to do what Jesus did. Keep going back, keep praying, and as you do, keep trusting. And as you do, pray, not my will, but yours be done. See, this wasn't anything new for Jesus. He had lived his entire life like this. For 33 years, he had lived his life for the glory of the Father, for his Father's will. And that wasn't about to change now just because the night had grown dark. In Jesus' most desperate moment, he is still more concerned, not about himself, but about his Father's glory and about his Father's will. And his Father's will took him to a cross. Which brings us to the third thing that I want us to see. Jesus crushed our fear with perfect love at the cross. Perfect love at the cross. See, Jesus crushed his fear in the garden, but he crushed our fear at the cross. 1 John 4, verse 18 says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. See, the antidote for fear is love. Perfect love. Faith, paramount. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us it's impossible to please God without faith. Courage. How many times do we look in Scripture and see Scripture encouraging us to take courage? Because courage can move us beyond fear. But if you want to cast away fear, if you want to expel fear, then it's going to take perfect love. After the service last night, someone came up, asked me to pray with them. They said, you want to know what I fear most? They said, I fear never being able to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Have you ever feared that? Because that is the fear that this passage is talking about. Fear of God's punishment. Fear of God's wrath. But that's why it takes perfect love at the cross to be able to overcome it. Because at the cross we see that wrath of God it's already been poured out on Jesus. And we do not have to fear that. If that's you, I would encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 8, the very first verse in that chapter, and just underline these words. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. If you belong to Jesus, if you have believed in him and you have trusted your life in him, if you've been baptized into his death and raised up to new life, you have the life-giving Spirit within you, giving you freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death. Galatians 5 says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. So take your stand. What do when we experience crushing fear? We do what Jesus did. We keep praying. But we keep trusting. We keep trusting God's perfect love that he revealed to us at the cross. This is so important because the enemy wants to take any opportunity to just plant fear, to make us question God's sovereignty, to question his love for us. Well, if he could allow this to happen to you, then what else could the future entail, right? He's wanting to plant those things. But when we look at the cross, there's no mistake of God's love for us. His answer may not change your circumstances. His answer may not be immediate. His answer to your prayer may not be quick or easy. His answer might include counseling. It might include clinical treatment. It might include finding another person that you trust that you can confess your fear to. Keep praying. His answer may not change your circumstances, but it will change you. It will change you because you will begin to see your circumstances through the lens of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my friends, that changes everything. That casts out fear. That is perfect love. Because the power that emptied a grave can empty a heart of fear. The power that emptied a grave can empty a heart of fear. Now, I can't promise you that you'll ever overcome your fear of clowns. But I can tell you this, I can promise you this, if you trust your life to Jesus, you will never, ever have to fear God's judgment ever again.